So today we're going to be looking at the question, what children's content do Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix and YouTube want? And to do this, we're going to be breaking it down into a couple of key areas. So we're going to be looking at how serious the FANGs and other streaming giants are about kids' content, how important it is to their overall strategies, and who they're focusing on in terms of age and gender. We're going to be looking at what kinds, in terms of age, gender, and genre, and quantities of content the FANGs and the other streaming platforms are commissioning as originals, so the titles they're greenlighting, and then also what kinds and quantities of content the streaming platforms want to acquire from third parties to boost their libraries. And finally, how have these strategies been changing over time? So to start off, we'll take a look at the FANG group. So this is Facebook Watch, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, and Google through YouTube. Here we're looking at the upcoming original titles, so things commissioned in-house from these five platforms. What you can see straight away is Netflix are the most seriously focused on original production, Amazon coming second. And strikingly, Facebook Watch over on the left-hand side and Google over here on the right, no upcoming kids originals. So Facebook Watch, we won't be talking about them again in the session after this. Their user agreement says there aren't any under 13s on their platform, which may or may not be true, but it is what they say. And so they don't commission any kids content. YouTube, obviously huge in the kids space, but they operate a little bit differently in that it's user-generated content. It's stuff that people are uploading themselves. And Google very rarely commission their own kids content. They've only released one kids title since 2017. But we can, into this group, bring Disney Plus, who are going to be launching later in the year. They're going to be a key disruptor in the kids' market. So here we're looking at the upcoming title slate broken between other content and kids' content. We're looking at that as an overall proportion with the number of titles overlaid in text. What this allows us to do is compare the strategies more clearly, negating for the fact that Netflix are just commissioning a whole lot more than anybody else. So if we start with Netflix and Amazon on the left-hand side there, you can see Netflix have 30 upcoming kids' titles. That's around 11% of their upcoming slate. Amazon, conversely, moving away from original kids' production, so those four titles are around 4% of their upcoming catalogue. The two services that are yet to launch, over on the right-hand side, Disney Plus and Apple TV Plus. Of the two, as you can imagine, Disney Plus are the ones more focused on kids' content. They've got eight out of 36 of their upcoming titles are kids. That's about 22%. Apple, more closely aligned to Amazon, about 6% of their upcoming slate, kids. So if we look a little more closely at what kind of IP these companies are leveraging, what we can see is that proven successful franchises are a key differentiator between the services. Disney Plus, as you can imagine, using their in-house content advantage and really leveraging some of their biggest franchises like Toy Story, Monsters, Inc. and High School Musical, spinning off those for new TV series. Netflix responding to this new threat in the market from Disney Plus by buying up proven IP that's lying around, not yet aligned with another upcoming streamer. So they've got things like book adaptations of Narnia, the Roald Dahl universe, and a spin-off from Jurassic Park, as well as even spinning off from other successful online TV series and even toy franchises. Amazon playing a slightly different game, obviously with fewer upcoming originals, but they have commissioned a spin-off from Bibi and Tina, which is a German witch franchise, suggesting maybe a slightly less Anglo-centric approach from Amazon. While Apple over on the right-hand side, spinning off from two major US kids franchises, Sesame Street and Snoopy and the Peanuts Gang. Interestingly, Netflix, Disney Plus and Apple all tied together here with the age of these franchises that they're leveraging. So the youngest franchise in those three is High School Musical, and that's already 13 years old. So Netflix, Disney Plus and Apple, well aware that they need to appeal to the parents, the ones who put the credit card details into the website, as well as the kids. So why is kids' content so crucial for the SVOD platforms? Well, if we look at the overall UK demographic on the left-hand side there, we can see Homes Without Kids in yellow on the left, at the top, sorry, Homes with Older Kids in blue and Homes with Young Kids in orange. What we can see is both Netflix and Amazon, their subscribing households over-index in both Homes with Older Kids and Homes with Young Kids, particularly Homes with Young Kids there. if we take a closer look at the two content libraries for Netflix and Amazon now. So here we're looking at the growth of Netflix's overall library, with the kids part of that split out in orange at the bottom. What you can see is that the overall library has grown pretty steadily over the last few years, but the kids library has really leveled out in the last 18 months, sticking at around 540 kids titles. If we compare that to Amazon, we've seen really rapid library growth, both in total content and in kids' content. Kids' content in orange at the bottom there, tripling since the start of 2017. But the two streamers do keep their libraries similar in the proportion of kids' content that makes up. So both sticking at around 10% of libraries being made up of kids' content. That has fallen over the last few years, but it's starting to level out. So the future strategy for both players seems to be 10% of content is kids' content. Where they do diverge is in terms of originality and exclusivity. So a note on the definitions here. So when we're talking about originals, this is a title that Amazon or Netflix were greenlit themselves. They were the commissioner. When we're talking about exclusives, that title was greenlit by somebody else. Netflix and Amazon came on board for exclusive global rights. They're a little bit different to Netflix and Amazon's own definitions of their originals, but they let us compare them side by side. So you can see Netflix there really focusing on originality and exclusivity in the kids space. One in five titles now is an original or an exclusive. Amazon, meanwhile, with that rapid library growth we saw in the last slide, they've had to sacrifice exclusivity to drive that content demand. So they're still bottoming along at around 4% of titles being original or exclusive in the kids space. If we compare the two libraries side by side now, so here we're looking at kids' content in the green, the rest of their library in yellow. What we can see is in terms of number of titles, Amazon are way ahead. They've got nearly twice as much content overall and nearly twice as much kids' content. This raises questions with Netflix as the established market leader about both the quality of content available on Amazon Prime and also the discoverability and navigability. Can you find the content you want on Amazon? Also, if we look at distinct content hours rather than titles, we see that gap close between Netflix and Amazon. So here we're just looking at kids' content split out between movies and TV seasons. TV seasons in pink there, you can see that Netflix and Amazon are very close to level in the terms of hours of kids' content they've got. Amazon moving ahead slightly with the movies, but really with the gap having closed so significantly since the last gap, what we're seeing is Netflix housing more content under fewer titles. So those are longer running and therefore more successful kids series on Netflix than on Amazon. So who do the SVOD services like to work with? Well, on the left-hand side here, we're looking at Netflix's overall kids library broken down by producer type. You can see they're heavily reliant on the independent sector in orange there, 55% of their titles coming from independent producers. And we see that borne out on the right-hand side in Netflix's upcoming commissions as well. So things they're commissioning as originals, those are also heavily reliant on independent producers. We also see Netflix with quite a heavy reliance on the US studios. So in their library, in green there, that makes up 23% of their library. As the US studio content starts to integrate into their own SVOD platforms like Disney+, NBC and Warner also following similar strategies, they're going to start pulling their content back from rival streamers like Netflix. And that's going to be a gap that Netflix really needs to fill. And on the right-hand side, you can see Netflix are starting to do that through their operation as a studio themselves. So that's in the pink there, about 14% of upcoming kids' titles being made in-house by Netflix. But still plenty of room there for other producers. If we compare to Amazon now, we can see Amazon even more focused on the independent sector in their library on the left-hand side. Over two-thirds of titles coming from independent producers. We've got a... they're also less reliant on the US studios, so they're going to have less of a gap there to fill over the next couple of years than Netflix. Over on the right-hand side, obviously they've only got four upcoming titles, so it's hard to draw too much of a conclusion from any of that. But we can see where Amazon do commission originals, they like to keep control themselves. So that three out of four titles there is where Amazon is operating as a studio. So just some quick conclusions on the first section here. Netflix and Amazon are the existing FANG platforms that take kids' content in terms of commissioning very seriously. Upcoming Disney Plus and Apple TV Plus services are going to be putting pressure on those two market leaders. Disney Plus, the most serious of the two, they're using their in-house advantage in terms of successful IP and in terms of production expertise. And Netflix and Amazon are scrambling to prepare, both following a strategy of around 10% of their libraries being made up of kids' content, but diverging where Amazon are focusing on rapid catalog growth, while Netflix, less about quantity, more about quality with specific and proven successful IP and original production. So next we're going to take a look at some genre analysis of the two players. So looking at Netflix here, we've got their current catalog broken down by genre on the left-hand side, and we've got the same data for a year ago on the right-hand side. What we can see is extreme catalog consistency. So what this means is Netflix have a well-established kids strategy. This is how they see their library broken down in the future. It's not been changing despite a third of titles that are there today not having been there a year ago. So everything they've added has been very similar. Everything that's been taken off has been replaced. The little pivot we do see is towards even more animated content. So that's starting to move up to a 50-50 split with live action in the Netflix library. If we look at originals and exclusives now, we see that focus on animation even more keenly. Animation moving up to 60% of the library. What's missing out there is a live-action comedy, predominantly. That implies that Netflix are less focused on live-action comedy content being exclusive. They're more likely to take rights for specific regions. And if we look at the upcoming titles as well, we see again that shift towards animation, over two-thirds of the titles now there. Also a little shift towards sci-fi and fantasy, which is interesting as that's been a key focus of Netflix's grown-up content as well. But to drive that animation drive, we've seen Netflix at the tail end of last year launching their own in-house animation studio. So animation's a real focus for them, and they're building their in-house capability in that area. So some conclusions for Netflix. Their kids' catalogue's been remarkably consistent, pointing to a clear strategy. That strategy is shifting slightly in an even higher focus on animation, with a launch of a new studio to support this shift. Live-action kids' comedy and drama, the subgenre, is missing out. So if we compare that to Amazon now, again, current library on the left-hand side and the library for a year ago on the right. And again, we're seeing this consistency. So Amazon know what they want. They know what their kids' strategy is. What we have seen, conversely to Netflix, is a slight shift away from animation. So more of a 60-40 split at Amazon, a little more of a focus on the live-action content. If we split out originals and exclusives, obviously a smaller proportion than with Netflix. As you'll remember, with Netflix, it was 1 in 5 titles. Here, it's only 4%. So only 30 original and exclusive titles out of 969. That's not a huge proportion. But their original and exclusive content is also focused towards animation, similarly to Netflix. The key genre missing out there, live action drama. So not too bothered about exclusivity when it comes to drama content. If we look again, just for comparison at the upcoming titles, really what we see here is they've got so few titles that we can't draw any conclusions. But what we can say is with Amazon having added 250 titles over the last year, if they're going to keep that growth up, which they seem to intend to be doing, and only 4 of those slots are going to get filled by upcoming originals, that leaves a hell of a lot of space for acquisition in their library. So some conclusions for Amazon. Again, consistent catalog split, despite nearly half of titles churning with Amazon. Animation, a focus of originals and exclusives, but generally the strategy is moving away from originals and exclusives and towards non-exclusive live-action subgenres. Amazon have a particular focus on live-action drama, or Netflix have a particular focus on live-action comedy. So next we're going to take a look at some age range analysis. So here, this time on the left-hand side when looking at Netflix's 2018 library, on the right-hand side, the library for today. We're splitting this by target age range, so the target age demographic for their content. Again, we're seeing remarkable consistency. Netflix, again, illustrating they've got a clear strategy. They know what they're doing. And what they're doing is focusing very heavily on the 7 to 9 year age range in their library. So a third of titles being in that little 2 year gap, and then a third of titles below in the 0 to 6s, and a third of titles above in the 10 to 18 age ranges. If we split originals and exclusives out, so this is the middle column here. We've got the rest of the catalogue left over on the left-hand side. What we can see is, in terms of originals and exclusives, they're much more focused on the older age ranges, less interested in the 7 to 9 year age range. So while the 7 to 9 year age range is a focus for the catalogue, it's not a focus when it comes to exclusivity. Finally, on the right-hand side, the upcoming titles, we can see again that shift towards the older age ranges, 10 to 12 and 13 to 18 being key to Netflix's originals. Using this data, so the churn rate, the catalogue consistency and the number of upcoming titles, we can use this to predict the number of acquisitions Netflix is going to need to make over the next year and in what age ranges. So here we can see Netflix's acquisition strategy over the next year to 18 months. It's going to be heavily focused in the 7 to 9 year age range. You're going to need about 28 titles there. Less interested in the older age ranges where, as we've seen, they're producing their own originals. So those slots are going to be filled from in-house. They don't need so many acquisitions at 10 to 12 and 13 to 18, but that is where they're more likely to commission. Some conclusions for Netflix. The catalogue overall focuses on the under 10s, but the originals and exclusives skew more towards the older age brackets. This leaves gaps in primary and preschool for acquisition, with Netflix needing around 66 acquisitions over the next 12 months to keep up their library. If we look at Amazon now, again, 2018 on the left and 2019 on the right, we're seeing this consistency again, so I'm going to keep harping on about it, but it's really interesting that Amazon and Netflix both have a clear strategy and they're not changing it too much, just tweaking it. What we can see is Amazon's focus is on preschool content, so a third of content there in the orange at the bottom. If we look at originals and exclusives, we can see this shift away, so they're not interested in exclusivity when it comes to original content. 7 to 9 year and 10 to 12 year the key demographics for original content. Interestingly, the teenage market completely missing out there in terms of originality and exclusivity. Again, for comparison to Netflix, we've got the upcoming titles split on the right-hand side. Really too few titles to make much of a conclusion, but again, we see this preschool focus. So what does this mean in terms of Amazon's acquisition? Well, they're going to be needing around three times the amount of content as Netflix are over the next year. They've got a particular focus on the 0 to 4 category, so those 66 titles equivalent to the number Netflix are going to need to acquire over all of the age ranges. But really, there's a lot of slots here in all of the age ranges at Amazon. So some conclusions for Amazon. Catalog is primarily focused in the preschool market, but originals and exclusives skew towards the 7 to 12-year-olds. And Amazon, due to their bigger catalog and lower rate of original creation, are going to be needing around three times the number of acquisitions over the next year as Netflix, with a focus on the 0 to 4 demographic. So finally, we're going to take a look at some gender analysis. So here on the left-hand side, we're looking at Netflix's overall kids library broken down by target gender. So you can see two-thirds of the content is gender neutral, the remaining third's pretty evenly split between female and male content. This data is quite subjective. These categories are assigned by hand going through each title, but when we aggregate them up into like 283 titles, as we see on the left there, we can draw some meaningful conclusions. So if we compare to the 7 to 9 year age range on the right-hand side, for instance, we can see this age range, which was key to Netflix's acquisition strategy, is skewing heavily male on Netflix at the minute. So they're most interested in acquiring male content. If we look at 10 to 12 age range, which is key for Netflix's originals, we can see a skew both towards more gender neutral content, but also towards the female, meaning male content's really pushed out to the fringes there. So Netflix's original strategy for the 10 to 12 is not really focusing on the male content. And finally, if we look at the 13 to 18 year age range, again, we see this skew towards female content, male content, again, really being squeezed in the areas where Netflix is most interested in originals. If we compare to Amazon now, what you can see again on the left-hand side with their overall library is this two-thirds to gender-neutral to one-sixth female, one-sixth male split, very similar to Netflix in terms of breakdown of target gender. On the right-hand side, we're looking at the 0 to 4 age range, which is where Amazon are focusing most of their strategy. And we can see there they're skewing heavily towards a male, not a lot of female content there. If we look at the 7 to 9 year age group, which is emerging as a pretty key battleground between the two players, both needing a high number of acquisitions over the next year, we can see Amazon skewing away from gender neutral content and skewing towards both the female, but particularly the male demographic. And finally, if we compare to the 10 to 12 year age range, we see a similar female skew to as we saw with Netflix. So some conclusions on the gender analysis. Amazon's content needs heaviest in the 0-4 category, and they're focusing on male content. Netflix, with their focus for originals in the 10 to 12 and 13 to 18 year categories, Netflix is focusing on the female demographic there. And at the 7 to 9 age group, where both players are going to be competing over a large number of acquisitions, they both heavily skew towards male-focused content, so a real demand for that content there. Finally, and just to bring Disney Plus back into the conversation, about to launch and about to disrupt the market, here we're looking at the upcoming titles on Amazon, Disney and Netflix, broken down by age range. If we start with Netflix on the right-hand side, what you can see there is they've identified a gap in the older age ranges at 10 to 12 and 13 to 18. So Amazon and Disney really not making many titles there. Amazon with one in the 10 to 12 year age range. Netflix have identified that gap and are stepping in to fill it. Disney Plus, with their in-house content advantage, obviously they can use their strength really to pick and choose which markets they're going to focus on. And they're focusing on the primary school demographic, particularly in the 7 to 9 year age range. While Amazon, over on the left-hand side, again, obviously very few titles, but we've seen this preschool focus borne out in all of our research. So Netflix keeping it teenage, Disney Plus really focusing on the primary school demographic, and Amazon picking the preschoolers. So some key takeaways from today's session. Kids content is not a key battleground for all of the fangs. The real services focusing on it are Netflix, Amazon, Apple, and Disney. Disney are the service that are going to put the most pressure on the two market leaders. They've got a large number of in-house productions expanding really popular franchises, and they're planning to use this to corner the primary school market. Netflix, meanwhile, competing with Disney in terms of IP by buying up IP from out of house, but they're taking a focus of older age groups, and especially animation for their originals, primary school content being left to the acquisitions team. Amazon, meanwhile, taking a slightly different tack. They're valuing library growth above all else rather than originality and exclusivity. They're especially focused in the live action space and with a particular skew towards preschool content. So that about wraps up our session on what kids content do the SVOD services want. We have a little bit of time for some questions.
Hi there, thank you. Can you talk a bit about the mix between global content and regional content in terms of the acquisitions?
So what we can see in some of those slides is the balance between exclusive content and overall library. So all of those libraries we were looking at were based in the UK. Mm-hmm. For Netflix, what we were seeing was about 1/5 of titles being exclusive. So that's where Netflix are taking global rights for a show. So the rest of that content will be made up of regional rights. It's quite hard to break that down any further. Amazon, meanwhile, that was around 4% of the library. So they're much more keen on regional rights, less focused on taking exclusive global rights for everywhere than Netflix.
Thank you.
Thanks.